In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When Isaiah sees God seated on the throne, the six winged seraphim speak to him. As they cry out, these angels cover their faces. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, they say. The whole earth is full of his glory. Isaiah shrinks back. Woe is me, he says. I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. On this Memorial Day weekend, as we remember the cost of our freedom, I am reminded that today's reading from Isaiah inspired the battle hymn of the Republic. It was written by Julia Ward Howe, the same abolitionist preacher who created Mother's Day. Presiding Bishop Curry often quotes it in his sermons, especially the last verse. In the beauty of the lilies, it says, Christ was born across the sea with a glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make folk holy, let us die to make all free while God is marching on. Beloved, we did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Elsewhere in the Bible, it says that perfect love casts out all fear. But love can't remove our shock and awe when we encounter the righteousness of God. The Holy One reveals our sins to us. We are mortal, we are compromised, we are frail. And so it is only when the angel purifies our lips with fire that we dare to speak the word of God. If we read a little further in Isaiah, we find out how devastating that word can be. God calls Isaiah to tell the people that their hearts will be hardened. They will be like Pharaoh before the Exodus. The prophet imagines the utter destruction of Jerusalem. The people will be decimated until all that is left is a stump and a holy seed. That seed is the righteous remnant of Israel. It is also Jesus crucified. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. We also hear these words in the Eucharist. They mark the beginning of God's new world. As we sing them, we come before the heavenly throne, and Jesus himself comes among us to reign. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. He is pure goodness and boundless love. He is beyond our comprehension and above every name. And yet, he comes to set us free. The whole earth is full of God's glory. Every last creature reflects God's goodness. And we human beings in particular are made in God's own image and likeness. When we see God, we feel lost. But at the same time, God finds and embraces us. Through Jesus and the Holy Spirit, God gives us the gift of his friendship. God is neither selfish nor stingy with his gifts. He is utterly generous and free. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God lives in perfect community, and he calls us to share his own love and freedom. In the Spirit, we turn to Jesus, and he leads us back to the one he calls Abba, Father. For we did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. but instead God has adopted us as his children. In Jesus, we forsake the works of the flesh. We renounce the world's ways of division, violence, and oppression. Rather, we produce the fruits of the Spirit, namely love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. As God's Spirit burns more brightly within us, we follow Jesus more closely until at last God's ways are perfected in us and God's love is all in all. I'd like to close with a quote from Rowan Williams, the former Archbishop of Canterbury. It is from a short book of his meditations on traditional Christian icons. Williams is speaking about a family of sacred images that portray Jesus as ruler of all. Here, Jesus is typically shown with one hand extended in a gesture of blessing. In his other hand, he is holding a book. This is a sign that he will judge the living and the dead. Williams asks us to pay special attention to the eyes of Jesus. What is it like to have those eyes look at us? When he looks at us with a holy love and a sovereign grace, we are changed by how Jesus sees us. Where do his eyes lead us then? Williams asks. To our own deepest reality, to the loving self-communication of God, which is the heart of our existence, and which by sin and laziness and forgetfulness we deny. The eyes of Jesus lead us to the wellspring of divine life, in the center of what we are, the Word that calls us into being. His gaze upon us takes us into the abiding love of the Creator that is expressed in the sheer fact of our being here at all. And we begin with him to see the Father as we look at all things and all persons. We see the distortions, the refusals, and the tragedies, and see them all the more honestly and painfully in the light. But we don't stop being able to see the gift of the Maker, who still loves in and through it all. The dwelling of the light is in us as well. We are being drawn toward this secret fire at the heart of earthly reality. That fire is the Spirit of Jesus. It is the Spirit of love and adoption and freedom. Glory, glory, hallelujah. God's truth is marching on.